Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams, touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right. Welcome back to this special edition of the Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. Joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, quite possibly the hardest working man in on all of Draft Twitter. How's it going, JR?
Good, man. A marathon tonight, but I'm excited to be back home, Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I'm excited to discuss some offensive tackles.
Yes, sir, man. And, you're out here putting out that work. This is, I think this is the sixth installment, maybe? Sixth installment of JR coming on here and, dropping gems on us here, talking about, these different position groups. But, as always, if you've been listening to the series thus far, you know what's coming next. It's a reminder, if you haven't bought the draft guide, go on and buy the draft guide. It's only $5, supports a great cause, you get a bunch of great information. If you have bought the draft guide, go tell a friend who hasn't bought the draft guide, they should buy the draft guide, because it's a great draft guide. Or just buy it for them. You get the benefit of helping a friend, helping a great cause, and helping your friends get smarter about football. It's a win for everybody. So make that happen. Let's get it done. And with the shilling out of the way, let's hop into these prospects, JR. Number five, who you got for us? Who is the number five tackle on your big board?
So number five may come as a bit of a surprise, considering how bad he was at the combine, and that's Orlando Brown, the tackle from Oklahoma.
Whoa.
That is my number five.
Okay.
Tackle. I have a mid-third round grade on him. And I'm going to do a bit of trust in the tape with him. Everyone knows his story and exactly what happened at the combine and how he had a historically low performance at the combine or historically bad performance at the combine. But like I said, I'm going to trust the tape a little bit with him. And I'm going to be honest, I was expecting him to perform poorly at the combine, but not as bad as he did. I wasn't expecting him to run that bad or lift that bad, of course, especially lift. I thought he would be one of the higher numbers in that area, considering his body frame and just how massive that he is. But as far as his playing style, he's a guy that's best suited in a man scheme, man blocking scheme team, because he's a guy that you just want him to get in the way and lay on defenders. That's what he does best. He's not a guy that's going to fit a zone scheme because he doesn't move laterally well or climb to the second level to get his body in position to block those linebackers or safeties that's on the second level. So he's a guy that needs to be in a man blocking scheme. And I think that caters to his strengths much more. And it's going to be tough because if he doesn't work out at tackle, there's nowhere where he can really go, because I don't think he's strong enough to transition inside, and he can't bend like that to transition inside to play guard. So he's a bit of an experiment and a huge project, and he's a big projection. You're really going to have to trust the tape with him if you do end up drafting him.
So with a guy, like Orlando Brown, kind of before the combine, before this, people really got digging into things. And I know that you'd mentioned beforehand that you expected him to test poorly just based on what you'd seen on film. But with a guy who is such a marginal athlete, how is he going to win at the next level? Like, when you're projecting a guy like Orlando, like what does he need to do? What does he need to work on in order just to not be beaten off the edge on every pass down that he's out there for?
And this is something that I've said when we talked about him previously during the combine. I think he needs to lose about 10 to 15 more pounds. He's done a good job of shedding weight every year he's been at Oklahoma. I mean, he started off his college career at 400 pounds. So, and he's down to, I believe, 345 is what he was at the combine. So he shed weight every single year. He was 360 coming into this year. So he's progressively declined his weight. And I think that's something he needs to continue to do, because it will help him out as far as flexibility and being able to move. As far as him succeeding on the next level, I compared it to Jack Conklin with the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, he was a first-round pick and will be a much higher pick than Orlando Brown will be. But the way that the Titans protected Jack Conklin was that they ran a lot of tight end attached sets, because that makes defensive ends have to take a wider path around him as opposed to that straight line path with him having a soft edge or no help on his outside pocket. So I think a team that runs a lot of attached tight end sets or a lot of 11 personnel could help him out a lot, having those tight ends beside him more often.
And another thing I'm noticing here, and it kind of you slipped it in there pretty quickly when you were talking about it, but your number five tackle, and you're giving him a mid third round grade. Is it safe to say you don't think very highly of this tackle class?
No, I don't. I think it's very thin from top to bottom, and that's something we'll get into as we go further along the countdown.
Okay, well, with that, then let's get to number four.
Number four is Jamarcus Jones, the tackle from Ohio State. He's a guy I really like. I've compared him to Charles Leno, the left tackle from the Chicago Bears. A guy that is a bit slight. He needs to put on some weight, but he is a good athlete. That's what you see from him. He didn't test overly well as far as an upper echelon athlete for offensive tackle, but what you see on his film is that he's very smooth. He's a very good pass protector, and he has those small ankles that you love to see in offensive linemen, and that just shows that he can really move. He can bend really well. His pass sets are very fluid. And he gains a lot of depth on his pass sets. Now, he needs to gain some strength because he isn't very sticky in the running game. A lot of defenders are able to shrug him off or knock him off of his path, and he's not able to stick on them in the run game. You see him kind of lose his balance from time to time, and that just comes with him being able or having to get in the weight room more often to be able to gain that weight and just having more control when he does block.
Yeah, just given his size, I guess, does he have any positional flexibility? Has he played anywhere else, or do you see him strictly as an outside guy?
I see him strictly as a tackle, and I think that's where he's best suited as. And I think he's a guy that can survive best at right tackle. I think he's a right tackle. I don't think he probably could survive as a left tackle. I really don't trust him protecting the quarterback's blind side, even though he did it at Ohio State. I like him much better at right tackle.
Okay, all right. And this next one here, I want you to go a little bit deeper on this one, because this next player is one that, kind of going into the process, not a lot of people were talking about him, but as time has gone on and people have gotten, you know, deeper into the tape, he's really come up here. So who do you have as your number three?
Tyrell Crosby, the offensive tackle from Oregon. I'm a big fan of him. And you're right, he's gotten a lot of buzz here lately, and I really like this film. I actually watched him back during their bowl game. I studied him before they ended up playing Boise State in the bowl game because I wanted to have an idea of exactly what to look for in him before I watched that bowl game. And I was impressed with him from the bowl game as well. What he showed on film is exactly what he showed in that bowl game as well. They ended up losing the game. They ended up getting crushed. But he still shined in that game. He did everything that he needed to do. He put the positive stuff on film that you want to see from him. Now, I do have some questions about him. Is he going to translate better inside, or can he hold up at tackle? And what I mean by that is Oregon's offense really hid his deficiencies a lot because their offense is predicated on getting the ball out very quick. So he doesn't have to hold those blocks or sustain those blocks on the perimeter for a very long time. And he doesn't set vertical or set back. That's what you like to see with offensive tackles. He sets horizontal. And that's really the technique that they teach at Oregon because they know he's not an overly great athlete. So he's not going to be able to set back like a traditional offensive tackle does. So what he has to do, he has to widen the angle by setting horizontal because it makes the angle harder for those speedy edge defenders. So you're really going to have to reteach him technique. You're going to have to break down his technique completely, what he's been doing the past 3 years at Oregon when he was there, and teach him how to gain depth on his pass sets, because if he runs or if he does that technique in the NFL, a lot of edge rushers are just going to have a lot of counter moves where they're going to run up the field and come back underneath him because he won't be able to recover. So he's going to have to redefine that technique. But he's a guy, I think, if he takes coaching well, he's able to adjust with those new coaching points and being able to set back vertical and improve that technique. He's a guy that reminds me a lot of Deion Dawkins from a year ago. Now, I think he's a better prospect than what Dawkins was, but I think he's probably a guy that's going to have to move inside, because I'm not so sure that if you teach a guy a whole new different technique in pass protection, I think you're kind of setting back his development. And what I mean by that is you don't want him experimenting with that new technique. And if it doesn't work, now his confidence is going to be low. But if you move him inside, he already has that power, that big barely frame that you love to see in those offensive guards. And he's just a bulldozer already from the outside. So that's a trait that translates inside. So I like his traits more on the inside.
And with that, and there's something you just said there, and it was a question that I was going to ask you I guess with any of these three guys that you've mentioned here, and I know you've already said you're not really, you know, particularly hype on this class, and the grades that you're giving on these guys, you know, aren't great either. So I'm at, like, any of the guys that you've listed so far, do you see them as anyone who would be able to step in and start at tackle right away? Or is it really the only one that you see would be Crosby kind of starting as an inside guy?
I think Crosby could step in and probably be a right tackle right away, just because he has the strength and he has the body frame right now to be able to survive while he's still learning that new technique. But it's going to be a trial and error period with him. And just like I alluded to earlier, with that new technique, it's going to be a trial and error period to see if it does work out. But I think with his strength and his mentality to finish defenders on the ground and not settling for less, I think that mentality will help him be a starter from day one.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's keep this thing moving along. Who do you got at number two?
Number two, Connor Williams from Texas. He has been a highly debated prospect, and his stock has really been all over the place coming into the year. He was a lot of people's top-ranked prospect. He was getting some labels as the next Joe Thomas, and the hype was real coming into this year. He had a lot to live up to. Hadn't allowed a sack coming into the year, but he really disappointed this last season. He suffered a knee injury in the season opener against Maryland. And he was, up to that point, he was disappointing in that game as their left tackle. He came back against West Virginia. He had an okay performance, but he still didn't look like that 2016 guy that we was accustomed to seeing. And now the biggest debate is, can he hold up outside because of his measurables? He isn't very long. He just falls short of the arm length threshold. Now, the regular arm length threshold, or the standard arm length threshold for NFL teams, is 33 inches. He falls just short of that. He came in at 32. So a lot of people are saying, does he need to transition inside to guard? So that's a big debate going on with Connor Williams right now. He's a guy that I think is going to slip a little bit. That's the reports coming out right now, because a lot of teams have him as a guard on their boards and some teams have him as a tackle. And you know, he's never played guard before, so that's another risk that you're taking with him. So if he doesn't end up working out at tackle, who knows if he can hold up at guard? And I think that's why, one of the biggest reasons why he's slipping to this point.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie. The first set of guys that you talked about here, I mean, there's nothing really to get too excited about. I mean, can we bring it home on a high note? Who you got at number one?
Mike McGlinchey from Notre Dame. He's a guy I actually like. I'm really high on Mike McGlinchey now. He doesn't have a very high ceiling. I think he sort of plateaued a bit when he was at Notre Dame. He's played left tackle the past two seasons. He was a right tackle before that. He's a guy compared to Ricky Wagner. I think that's a perfect comparison for him. Had a lot of chemistry with their left guard. Obviously, Quentin Nelson, those guys came in together, and they've played together the past few years at Notre Dame. And what you see with McGlinchey is that he's a guy that's really learned on the go in his time at Notre Dame. But he's gotten better every single year that he was there. It's not easy to switch from right tackle to left tackle in a single year and have the success that he's had. Now, he needs to work on his hand usage a bit. That's one thing you see with him. He doesn't really know when to time his punches when engaging with speedy edge rushers off the edge. And his foot speed is a bit slow. And a lot of times, like you saw in the Miami game, where he really struggled with those speedy guys coming off the edge, and the Georgia game as well, especially on the last play of the game. But before that point, he really was solid. So just speed off the edge gives him trouble. And proper hand usage is something that he needs to learn. But he's a guy that I think is solid. I think he can step in and be a day one starter at left tackle or right tackle. I like him much better, and I liked his film much better at right tackle, though.
Okay. All right. I know it's supposed to be a top five, and I should be letting you out of here because you probably got like eight more podcasts you got to record tonight. But I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't say something.
I didn't know who you're going to ask about.
Where is Colton Miller, man? Where he at? I mean, he's supposed to be the man flying up draft boards right now. First round pick. He's not even in your top five. And number five, you have a third round grade on. Help me out here. What's going on?
Yeah, so Colton Miller is actually my seventh-ranked guy. I have an early fourth on him. My sixth-ranked guy is Alex Kappa from Humboldt State. I have a late third on him. But just staying on topic with Colton Miller, obviously he tested amazingly at the combine in the 99th percentile of a lot of categories, one of the best combines ever for an offensive tackle. But he just doesn't play like that on the field to me. And I've made this comparison on every single podcast that I've been on and asked me about Colton Miller. He can end up being anything from Nate Solder to Jason Spriggs. That's how up and down his stock is and how mixed the opinions are on him. But, of course, a lot of teams are going to think that they have the secret sauce or the secret recipe to help him improve. But I just have a lot of questions about him, and the biggest thing is his pass sets. I think he's a mess as a pass protector. Now, he is a really good run blocker. That's the thing about him. He is a devastating and a dominating run blocker, and that's where he shows the most confident in. But as far as a pass protector, he just got really exposed, and his footwork is a mess. And I just think he's a huge project that we won't see his upside or his potential until 2 to 3 years down the road, if we ever see it. And I'm just not willing to bet on that with him because some of the flaws that he has, I just don't think that they are correctable.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's it. That's good. We got everything we need there. We got the takes in. You know, we got you to talk about the Josh Allen of offensive tackles there at the end. And, you know, as we go through this whole thing here, there's one tackle that JR likes. So if you're a team, you should be listening to this podcast to get smarter about the football. And you need a tackle, you should draft Michael Glinchey first round. Well, that's it, JR. I'll be talking to you again soon. You know, the draft is, a week away?
Eight days away.
Yeah, we closing in on it now. So, yeah, I'll talk to you soon. We'll give you a couple days off. We're gonna get Miles in here in the hot seat, but we'll give you a couple days off. And yeah, happy podcasting, my man. Talk to you soon.
We must be talking wide receivers as Miles is coming on.
I know. Well, we're talking the skill players. We're talking the guys. You know, we got some tight ends. We got some defensive backs. And you know, we got some wide receivers with Miles coming up. So yeah, it'll be a good time. Keep this thing going. Give JR a couple days off. We'll give him some days off. I'm sure you'll still be working. But yeah, that's the episode. Listeners, thanks for listening. JR, thanks for coming on. And y'all have a good night.